Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Our gospel lesson today is one of the longer readings in the lectionary. To quote St. Augustine as he preached on this reading, "Were we to attempt handling the whole of it, today would be insufficient. Therefore, today I shall give you a brief recap of the text before we focus on our theme for today. Christ, in your light we see." In our gospel lesson this morning from John chapter 9, Jesus sees and heals a man who has been born blind. Before he heals the man, the disciples are speculating, what caused this man's blindness? Was it his sin, or was it his parents' sin that caused him to be born blind? They are retribution theologians. They think that every misfortune you suffer is because of your sin or your parents' sin. But what does Jesus say? He says, no, it was not the particular sin of this man or his parents that he was born blind, but he was born blind so that God's work may be displayed. That is, that God's work may be displayed when Jesus heals him. After he has healed him, Jesus disappears. The man returns from the pool having been his sight recovered, but now he can't see Jesus. The people begin to talk, and they begin to ask him, "What happened? Are you that guy that we saw begging last week?" And the man confesses, "Yes, I am. This man Jesus healed me." Eventually, the man is brought before the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are piping mad because Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. How dare he help his neighbor on the Lord's day? Under pressure by them, he finally confesses, "This man is a prophet." The Pharisees, of course, are a little bit flustered by this comment, and they summon his parents. And the parents refuse to testify about what happened to their son, first of all, because they don't know, and secondly, because if they were to say, "Well, this Jesus fellow healed him," well, they would be excommunicated. They would be cast out of the synagogue. And so they say, "Well, ask him. He's an adult." The Jewish leaders, again frustrated, summon the man a second time. Obviously, this Jesus fellow is a sinner. I mean, he heals on the Sabbath, right? Come on, give us some testimony. Give us something juicy on him. But the blind man will not confess Jesus as a sinner. What does he say? "Well, you know, I can now see. I mean, you keep telling me this man is a sinner, but God doesn't listen to sinful men. And even more, now that you say that, now that I think about it, this is a miracle that's never happened before. God had raised, the prophets had raised dead men, they'd split seas, they'd given manna from heaven. But God never healed a blind man through the hands of a prophet. Obviously, this is a miracle that only God could have done. Therefore, this Jesus fellow must be sent from God." For that confession, the Jews excommunicate him. They cast him out of the synagogue. They say, "You can't come back." Now that he's cast out, Jesus comes to the man. He hears about his situation and he finds him. And he asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he? I would love to, Jesus." You are looking at and hearing him right before you. And what does the man say? He says, "Lord, I believe." And he kneels down and worships Jesus. And as this man is worshiping Jesus, Jesus says, "I have come to give sight to the blind and to blind the sighted." That is to say, Jesus says, "I have come to forgive and give faith to sinners. But I have come also to condemn the self-righteous." John's gospel is rich with signs and symbols. Jesus is at work performing these great signs, these miracles that reveal or ought to reveal who he is. He is God incarnate who has come to bring grace and truth. But as John tells us in the first chapter of his gospel, the darkness cannot overcome the light. Yet at the same time, Jesus is met everywhere with unbelief. He is rejected, and those who believe him are likewise rejected. Satan's lies have strongly bound many. The world's goods and threats compel some to look the other way and to say things like, "Ask him, he's an adult." Likewise, the sinful flesh leads us astray. See, man's own reason can't find the light. It can't find the truth. Instead, we're stuck in a cave, trying to read the shadows on the wall. The three enemies, Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh, have all bound mankind under their spell. Sinful man prefers to live in unbelief and sin because it feels good. The conscience lies asleep, like a smoke alarm that you take the batteries out of. No beeps when there's sins, which means there's no troubles and there's no worries. It's like when you put tape over your check engine light. There's nothing wrong with my car, except the engine's tearing itself up inside. See, that's what this man's blindness symbolizes. Spiritually speaking, the man's blindness is the blindness of sin and unbelief. Likewise, the Pharisees are also blind, even though they don't have physical blindness. The sinful man imagines that he is doing pretty good. This is the Jews' blindness, the blindness of self-righteousness. See, in reality, they're lost in some dark pit of hell. But what they see, what they think they see, is a wide open plain. They imagine their works will save them, and they imagine that they are righteous according to their own wisdom and strength. They're not like this poor blind fellow that's condemned for his sin or his parents or whatever. They look down on the man born blind because they think they're better than him. The blind man, the disciples, and the Jews are all blind. They're in the dark. Some of them physically and some of them spiritually. And so too were you. And you were tempted by the same thoughts. The drawing towards sin and the lie of self-righteousness. But John's gospel is very clear. Jesus is here to shine the light of his truth upon you. His own did not receive him, but all who believe shall have life in his name. It is Jesus' word and work that come to you to bring and give you faith. The gospel is the light that shines upon us. Now this faith, of course, comes in stages. If we look at the text before us, we can see that his healing, his blindness is recovered over a series of stages. At first, the man is healed of his physical blindness. When he is questioned, he confesses Jesus as a man. When he is put under trial by the Pharisees, he declares, "Well, this Jesus fellow is a prophet." Next, under the threat of excommunication, the man must declare, "This Jesus fellow is innocent, and he is sent from God." And for this confession, the man is cast out of the synagogue. This is the journey of coming to faith. A sinner encounters Jesus. At first, Jesus seems like a pretty good man, maybe even a wise prophet. Sadly, many are content to stay here. Muslims and Jews can stomach this confession. They can say that this Jesus fellow was a wise prophet. But that's all he was. But But as the man undergoes trials and tribulations, a new thought arises. You know, this Jesus fellow, he did things that no other prophet had done before. No prophet in the Old Testament healed a blind man. Come to think of it, the scriptures say only the Lord can do that. Maybe he isn't just another prophet. Maybe he's the greatest prophet. But again, this is still the same mistake. This is the mistake that Peter makes on the Mount of Transfiguration when he says that Moses and Elijah and Jesus should all get tabernacles and they're all equal. This is the error that many who call themselves Christians make. Sectarian groups that want to be called Christian yet reject that Christ is God, that he is the Son of God and the Lord Almighty. See, it's not enough to confess Jesus as the greatest prophet. That'll get you kicked out of Judaism and Islam. But that's not the truth. That's not the full truth of the scriptures. The blind man is learning to reject and to spare his own righteousness as he undergoes these trials. And finally, to proclaim Jesus. To trust Christ's word and his work, but not his own. And that's where Jesus comes to the man. He comes to him after he's been cast out by the wicked and self-righteous. He comes to the man as he's sitting there questioning his own reason and strength. That's when Jesus comes to him and says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answers, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. And it is he who is speaking to you." He says, "Lord, I believe." And the blind man worshiped him. See, this man has become aware of his need. His self-righteousness is gone. He's questioning everything. And that's the moment that Jesus arrives. And by his word, he reveals himself to the man. He is this man's Lord. Not only is he the Son of God, but he is the one who has redeemed this lost and condemned person. He has purchased and won him from death, from sin, and from the power of the devil with his precious blood. He's won him from the darkness. He has given him his Holy Spirit. He has given him faith. This man believes and he is saved by Christ. So too for you, dear Christian. Christ works through his preached word today in you. Through his law, he exposes the works of darkness in you. He removes the possibility of retreating to the synagogue. That is, from retreating to your own works for your salvation. To depend upon yourself, your own reason, or your own strength. Or even your own righteousness. And at the moment when you despair of yourself, he proclaims the gospel to you. "I am your Lord. Satan, the world, and sin have left you bound and dead, blind and lost. But I have come to silence Satan, to overcome the world, and to pay for your sins. On the cross, I have accomplished this great work. I have shed my blood for you there. I have earned your salvation. You were blind, lost, and condemned. But I have shown my light upon you. I sought you out. I found you. And I forgave you. In my church, I continue to work in you. Now, bringing you and sustaining you in the one true faith." See, dear Christians, Jesus has moved from a man to a prophet to one sent by God to your Lord. He is your Lord who has redeemed you. This is faith. Not to believe Jesus as a good man or a nice prophet. Not to even to believe Jesus as God. But to believe in Jesus as your Lord who has redeemed you. This is the work of God, dear Christians, in your heart. He does this through his word and his sacraments in his church. These are the greater works that he will speak of on the night when he is betrayed. For in preaching and baptism, faith is given and fed. And by the absolution and his supper, faith is restored and sustained. And in this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all your sins and the sins of all believers. In light of all that Christ has done for us then today, let us say this is most certainly true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.